Hi, everybody. It's Joanna. I'm so sorry. I'm a couple minutes late. And I'm so happy to be here with all of you for our call today. This is our July Soulful Leader Intensive Training and Masterminding call, and I'm really excited to dive into today's topic. It's one that's important for every single entrepreneur, and it's a topic that I've spoken with some of you about personally, and I know some of you have spoken to Darcy, Katie, or Marcy about separately, but it's not a topic that we really as a group have gone into, and I think a lot's going to come out of today. But before we get there, let's take a couple moments to breathe and connect and to come together powerfully. So wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. Feel your seat beneath you. Really allow yourself to come fully present to our time together today. Inhaling and exhaling. Finding your breath. And coming home to your body as you breathe. It happens so often for all of us, myself included, that we go through our days, good things happen, not so good things happen. We move at a faster pace, we move at a slower pace, and somehow we forget that we are embodied women. So now is a beautiful moment to come home to your body, to remember that sacred temple that houses your soul, your heart, your mind, your spirit. And to use the breath to connect deeply to yourself. Now, as you inhale and exhale and connect to your body, I invite you to connect to your business. Not to all of the little details of your business, not to the to-do list of your business. I know you're connecting to those things all the time. But for right now, I invite you to connect in to the bigger soul of your business. I invite you to connect in to the bigger mission of your business. I invite you to connect in to that biggest divine purpose. You may mentally know what that is or not, and that doesn't matter in this moment, but I want you to energetically connect into that big divine purpose that had you open a business in the first place. Yes, it was to satisfy yourself. Yes, it was to express your brilliances. Yes, it was to earn an income. And there was also, hand in hand with all of that, a bigger divine purpose that had this business of yours become born through you, made manifest through you. Connect into that. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. And with that, before we jump into today's topic, I'd love to hear from each woman on the call, and I'd love for you to share really in like 20 seconds and under, as I call you, I'd love to for you to share one thing that you're really celebrating, one thing can be inner or outer that you're proud of, one thing that's exciting, one thing that's moving or shaking in your business, one thing that you really want to acknowledge. And let's start, I'm going to put us in lecture mode here. All right, Makeda, I'm taking you off mute. Let's start with you. What would you like to celebrate?
Hi, Joanna. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm celebrating a really successful first live event. I had 15 people sign up and 12 women showed up, and I already have 4 or 5 people signed up for my next one in a couple of weeks, so I'm feeling really good about those. That's my celebration.
That's huge. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. It is a big yay. It's a really big yay.
Great. Good. Corey, you're up next.
Hi, Joanna. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. I am celebrating a new client, brilliant, ideal client in my now existing 6-month program, and rate increase with that of $300, and I'm just still in wonder and curiosity, so I'm really celebrating that and really excited to start working with her.
That's wonderful. Congratulations on the new client, on the fact that she's so aligned, and on the rate increase. Those are all big things, really big things.
Thank you.
Well done. You're welcome. Jan, you're up next. I've got you off mute.
There we go. Hello.
Hi.
I'm going to celebrate just coming out of a session with a couple who this was their third session. They're in their 60s, and they've been in counseling for, she said, 15 years off and on. And she said they've accomplished more in 3 hours doing this kind of work where it's body, mind, spirit, using the tapping and energy work than they had in all those years.
Mm.
And I got to watch them go from sitting on opposite ends of the couch, really being enemies, angry, to today they were holding hands when they left. So, pretty cool in 3 hours. Very, very happy.
That's amazing. You do such great work, Jan, always. And just so beautiful. So, so beautiful. Yay. Okay, let's see who's next. This is a New York City person, and I'm guessing that it's Miranda that I just took off mute, but maybe it's somebody else.
It might be me.
Yep, it is you. Hi.
Hi. I'm celebrating that in the midst of my struggles with writing and language, I received a text from a woman who was a one-off client who's told me that she had the most deep and transformative experience she's ever had with energetic work when she saw me, and she wanted another appointment. She said ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm struggling with the language, I'm reassured that my studies and my skills are supporting me.
Yeah, beautiful. And I want you to take that assuredness and that confidence into writing the copy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Good. Good, good, good. All right. Let's see. I think this is Amelia that I'm taking off mute. Are you there, Amelia?
Hi.
I am.
Hi.
Hi. My celebration is that I identified a new vehicle where I can share my gifts, which is running facilitated book groups for women in transition.
Mm-hmm.
And this was born from my willingness to be more visible via giving talks.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's such a great marketing avenue for you in so many ways.
Oh, yeah, it would be so fun, so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to thank this group because the book that I want to use was one that Leora, I think, originally suggested, and it's the Playing Big book by Tara Moore. I just think it's so powerful. Anyway, 20 seconds. I'm going off now.
That was perfect, and I love it, and I love that you're leading. You're going to get out there and lead groups. Great. That's where you should be. Good. All right. Bryce, you're up next.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi.
I am celebrating outer biggest month ever, inner best Reiki 1 and 2 class ever, because I let my intuition lead the entire 2 days of class.
Mm. I love it. I love both of those. And they go hand in hand, right? They're not separate from each other. It's no coincidence that the same month that you led your best Reiki classes that are led from intuition coincide with highest income generating months.
I feel like I'm totally sinking into my queen.
Yeah, you are, baby. Beautiful. So happy. All right. Wendy, I just took you.
You got me?
Yep, got ya.
Okay. I am celebrating my re-energization and refocus on my good sense.
I'm glad to hear it. And I know that we had some email exchanges about it. Just want to check in. Or you feel like you're re-energized while also in summer energy?
I think so. I'm not there all the way yet, but working toward it.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear it. Okay, Janet.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I'm celebrating. My new website is live, and my first ever blog editorial calendar is scheduled or planned out, so I need to write that. And then, yeah, just having a new opt-in coming.
Yeah, a lot of outer action and a lot of stuff that are going to set you up for more people to come through and into the community and get to know you. Really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Good. All right. And Carrie.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh. So I basically yesterday found out or negotiated my new office space, so that's looking like I'm going to move forward for September 1st. So I'm half celebrating, half freaking out, but it's got to be done.
I think that sounds about right. It's exactly where you should be. Congratulations. And is that going to be a space, Carrie, that will allow for a second therapist to be there?
Oh, yeah. It's 1435 square feet from my 250 square foot room. I'll have three treatment rooms and a group space.
Very nice.
I'll have room to grow, plenty of room.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of room. Awesome. You're ready for it. You're so ready for it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I'm so happy to hear it. Good. So I think I got everyone, and that's on the call right now, and I just want to call in all the women who are on vacation. I know summer vacations are tough and on retreat, and I especially want to call in Alicia, who just had her baby, I think, 3 days ago. So just sending a lot of love to her, and just so happy about all of these celebrations and all that's been unfolding for each of you. Such big things, each in their own ways. All right, so what I want to talk about today is on the most simple level, on the most basic level, it's about next steps processes. And, you know, that's sort of the term that I use and the team uses for having clients that have worked with you, bringing them to continue to work with you once their programs are done, their offerings are done, et cetera. So on the most surface level, we're going to talk about those next steps processes, which I know that a lot of the women on this call, you've learned, I've done trainings about them in the past, and you've been working on those. But what we're going to look at today is really more than just the actual next steps calls. But what I really want to take a look at is the bigger picture of your business and where continuing clients fit in to your business and how to harness the power of continuing clients to not only sustain your business, but to grow your business. And it doesn't matter what kind of business you're in or how your services work or your products work. The reason why this topic of looking at continuing clients and how to shepherd people along with you, the reason why it's so important is because one of the best ways, one of the quickest ways, and one of the ways with the most ease and the least effort to build your business is to be able to retain the business that you've already brought in, if it's right. And we're going to be taking a look at that. So I know that everyone on this call has in one way or another been exposed to, and you hear me talking about it a lot, in one way or another has been exposed to this online marketing craze, which is not all bad at all. I use a lot of online marketing tools and techniques, and I think it serves a great purpose. For sure. But for anyone that's been exposed to the online marketing craze, as I like to call it, we're told that we constantly have to find more people. We constantly have to find new people. We constantly have to be expanding our platforms. We constantly have to be getting new exposure and more exposure in order to grow our businesses. And there is an aspect of that that I do believe is true. We do always want to be expanding our reach and expanding our platform and bringing new ideal clients and new ideal prospects into the mix, people that have never connected with us before. That is absolutely 100% correct. And that's why, you know, for each of you in your own ways, we've been looking at marketing avenues and marketing moments to expand your platform. That's why I gave you all, I frequently give the exercise of creating a joint venture project. That's why, as we move forward in this program, we're going to be looking at lead magnets. As we move forward in this program, we're going to be looking more at social media tools. It is really important, but what I want to point out for today is that in this online marketing craze, what is oftentimes overlooked is the value of the people that you have already served, is the ability to serve them more deeply, to bring more impact to their lives, to bring more transformation to their lives, and then the value that that can bring back into your business. And one of the reasons that I believe this is overlooked, this topic, you don't really see many people out there talking about this, right? You see people talking about how to get new clients and this and that. Again, all good stuff. But one of the reasons why I believe that that people out there aren't really talking about how to sustain, how to continue to work with clients that you've already served, is because what's happened in this online industry is because there's been so much of an emphasis that's being placed on marketing, there's been less of an emphasis that's been placed on quality product and quality service and quality delivery. And what's happened, unfortunately, not across the board, but I think in a lot of cases, is that the entrepreneur is so focused on getting more folks in that they're not serving their people as well as they could. And then they're just focused on getting others in, and there's not this sustainable track that's happening. But the truth is that if you're providing a quality service, a service of deep value, your clients are going to want to continue with you. They may not know it at first. They may have resistance to it at first. We're going to talk about all of that today. But if you're providing something of value, and if you know how to transition effectively a client from one offering to the next, from one service to the next, then you actually have to do a lot less work on some of the other marketing pieces. Not only that, but you'll find that a lot more referrals will come in as well. Now, if you're a business, and I don't think anyone on this call falls into this category, but check it out for yourself because you might. If you're a business that is not what I would call an intimate business, right? And you've heard me talk about this before. An intimate business, it doesn't mean that you're only serving a couple of people. That's not what I mean by that. But an intimate business is one where you are intimate with your clients, where the care for your clients goes deep, where it doesn't necessarily have to be a one-on-one situation. Even if it's a one-to-many situation, your top priority is about doing some loving hand-holding, is about really helping your clients be seen and heard, is about really having your clients know that you know who they are, that you get them, that you're there for them. That's what I would characterize as intimate, right? Even if thousands of people are reading your newsletter, right, that there's still an intimacy there, right? We know the difference between an intimate business and one that's just about the masses, right? One that's just like, here is the guru that's speaking to the masses, but there isn't that relationship there necessarily. So if you consider yourself an intimate business, then really mastering the art of sustaining clientele and shepherding and being able to continue to work with clients and deepen the work is going to become even more important for you, because what that basically means is within your brilliance, it's actually a priority and a hot spot for you to deepen relationships with folks, for you to continue relationships with folks, for you to go further, for you to go deeper. So all that being said, here's the next thing that, well, actually, before we go on, I want to ask you all a question. I want you to think about your businesses. And I want you to think about the people that you've worked with over the years. And I want to ask you this question. How would your business look, what would be different about your business today if you were able to retain at least 50% of the clients that you work hard to actually bring in and step into your work. How would your business look different if you were to easily just be able to retain 50% at least, no matter what? And I know for some of you, you know, Carrie, I'm thinking about you, and for some others, it's like you work with somebody on something and then they get better, they get healed. So maybe you're not retaining them consistently, though you might be, because there's probably always stuff to work on, but maybe you're not retaining them consistently, but maybe they still, you're the first person that they think of to come back to. So how would your business look different if you were able to retain at least 50% of the clientele that you've already worked so hard to find, to bring into the funnel, to have conversations with, to sign? It would look really different, right? There'd be a lot more income coming in. Services, the spots that you have available for your services would be a lot more filled. You'd have to do less marketing. So with that, here's a really important piece to understand. And let me tell you, this is a piece of information that I have learned the hard way, like really the hard way, have been burnt by this over the years, because I happen to have a very high rate of continuing clients. You don't want to continue to work with a client that is no longer aligned. You don't want to continue to work with a client that is no longer aligned, because obviously it's not going to be fun for you or for the client. So we don't want to just blindly invite all clients to continue. And when I invite clients to continue to work with me and to continue to work with my coaches and to continue on in my programming, it's never just random, and I never invite everyone along. I really, really take the time to ask myself some questions to determine if this is somebody that I'm really meant to continue to work with. And the first question that I always ask myself is, do I feel in my heart that I am able to continue to support this woman in creating the results that she wants? Do I really feel and believe in my heart that I am able to continue to support this woman to create the results that she wants? I need to have a yes to that answer, no matter what. If the answer to that question is a yes, then I ask myself a second question that I also need a yes for, in order to invite somebody to continue. And that second question is, do I enjoy this person? Do I feel deeply connected to this person? Do I desire to give my focus, my time, and my brilliance to this person? And that's a really important question. And it's very different than the first question, because we can be able to continue to support someone, but not necessarily feel connected to them, not necessarily feel like we're the one to do it. Like we want to spend energy, our precious energy, with this person, right? So we want to be able to have a really clear yes to both of those questions before inviting someone to move forward. And I'll share with you, this happens all the time And it's gotten easier over the years. But, you know, all the time there are some clients that I'm not inviting to move forward. It doesn't mean the work that we've already done together hasn't been phenomenal, but I just haven't gotten a really strong yes on both of those questions. Or I feel like the timing isn't right. That's another question I ask is, you know, is it the right time to continue? And it's hard. Like, it was hard at first to not ask everybody if they would like my continued support, because I'm such a relationship person. I hate to leave people behind. I hate to let people go. I want to, like, impulsively, I want to hold on. But what I really came to learn over the years is that the more discerning that I can be from my expertise and from my intuition around who I'm meant to continue with, and the more that I can really just let go of the folks that I know I'm not meant to continue with in at that time, the more easeful it is for everyone involved, the more I'm going to be able to serve in all of the highest ways that I'm meant to serve. So it's really important to just be really clear on who the ideal continuing client is. Once you know who the folks are that you're asking to continue, then from there, I want to talk about, you know, getting into the process of continuing, and we'll get into some advanced skills for those next steps processes. But before we get there, I want to just pause here because I know I've been talking a lot, and I'd love to hear so far what are you really seeing is important for you from this call. What are you learning, or what questions do you have so far? And I'll put us back into Q&A. So it's star 7. What are you getting here? What's important for you?
Joanna?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is Corey.
Hey, Corey.
What this does is really succinctly give me an affirmation for what, I think, before my original client came to me and said, I want to stay with you, this is how to do it, and I wanted her to. What it does, and this was back probably a few months ago, and was talking with Darcy about it through emails and in calls. So this really affirms all of what was coming up for me, gives me a couple things to really touch with. And the second piece of it for me is the intentionality of building my business physically, programming-wise, in the way I want to, but also my own personal growth in building this business, not just the clients, if that makes sense, that this all works together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's like as you grow and evolve and learn new skills and come to new understandings, the people that are meant to continue with you, you shepherd them into all of that new learning as well. So there's, I think that's what you're saying, there's like a parallel evolution as you move forward with clients.
Yes, I would say definitely parallel evolution and conscious choice about that for myself, inner work and the outer work, what I'm seeing in front of me in program development and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of that, and hence, you know, how many times I've brought up the freaking enormity of this. Well, no wonder, but it doesn't feel unwieldy. It's more just the gentleness of it and the awareness of it with this kind of succinct information.
Yeah, good, good, beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Good. I'd love to hear from another person. What are you seeing so far for yourself that's important here?
Hey, it's Bryce.
Hey, Bryce.
What I'm really seeing is surprising, but it's as I grow, as things grow, to truly also be true to my authentic self. And like you said so beautifully, bring those people along that I truly feel are right for me for where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And also by doing that, I'm being true and honest to those people who aren't meant to be my people anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. That's when it's most effective, honestly. Also, you know, I found that when I used to just invite everyone to move forward, less people said yes to moving forward because it wasn't a choosing. It wasn't like a this is what's really right. It was random. And I don't want to say desperate. It wasn't desperate, but just a little bit kind of without intention. When you really begin to put the intention to it, then it becomes so much more powerful. And also then you free up the folks that aren't meant to continue with you at that moment to find the support that is going to be right for them for their next phase.
Right. And follow up to that, and that's exactly my next question. You have someone who you've worked together a while, and then maybe you've grown, you've changed, but you begin to sense that they're not your right person anymore, but they still want to work with you. What do you do?
That's a really, really good question. So it depends on the person, right, and how much of the truth they can take or how much they're really going to be able to understand. You know, and I think like 90% of the people can, but you know, every now and again, sometimes someone can't. But honestly, I've had a number of situations where people have wanted to continue and I haven't felt that it was right. And I have just been honest and I've said, you know, we've done so much together so far. This and this and this have happened. But a couple of things I'd say. So the one scenario is, my work is going in this direction, and because of that, I don't sense that I can serve you because my interests are really going in a particular direction that isn't appropriate for that particular client. So that's one scenario. Another thing, depending on the scenario, is, you know, we've done so much. You always want to honor the work that you have done and the relationship that has been created. But then, you know, from there to say, but, you know, in order to move forward, we've consistently seen that you've had this block, whatever the block is, and I don't think I'm the right person to help you with that in this next phase. If you can go to an X kind of practitioner or a Y kind of practitioner and move through that block, then let's talk. Then come back and let's see what can happen next between us. So you want to really just be honest and let the person know in a very loving way and in a way that isn't right, because it's not about that they're doing something wrong or they're not good or anything like that. It's just about an alignment. You want to share with them where the misalignment is without disparaging any of the work that you've already done together up until that point. Does that make sense?
Totally. And I love the way you refer to it as the misalignment, because it's almost like a relationship. And that doesn't mean you aren't two good people or two good friends, but sometimes in a friendship or a relationship, you've reached the point you've served each other. You've served the purpose why you got together in the first place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not about making the other person wrong or you're better there, you know, nothing like that. But it really is for exactly what you're saying, any kind of relationship, there has to be that alignment that fits whatever the container of the relationship is, the container in this case being whatever the format of the program is. You know, another aspect of that is sometimes I've had a higher level program and someone has wanted to continue in the higher level program and I've felt I can continue to serve this person and I want to continue to serve this person, but they actually need to take a step back into a lower level program. That's what's going to be more in alignment if we're going to continue this relationship. That's the container that's going to be correct for them, right? So it's always about what's in alignment and is this container going to serve that?
Okay.
Yeah, great question.
Yeah.
All right, so let's continue and take a look at once you know that someone is meant to continue with you, and we really feel it, your heart, your soul, your mind, your intuition, you really know it would serve their greatest. You know that it will help you help them continue to create what they want, and you know that it'll feel really good for you and serve you as well, then what do you do? So the first thing, you guys know, I always, whatever topic we're looking at, I'm always going to look at mindset first, right? Because we don't want to, and soul set, right? And the inner energetics, because we don't want to take any action in our business unless on an inner level, on an energetic level, we're really aligned and we feel really ready to do this. And we've spoken a lot together on how to align ourselves, you know, in the enrollment conversations workshop on the energetics of an enrollment conversation with a new prospect. But I want to talk a little bit about the energetics of a conversation with a continuing client. A lot of the energetics are the same as with a new prospect, but some things can get a little wonky sometimes with continuing clients, and it's just some things I want you to think about, want to make you aware of. So the first place to, you know, where energetics can sometimes be off with a continuing client is as follows. We feel like, okay, I'm getting these hits that I'm meant to continue to work with this person, that I can, you know, this and that, but what if this person doesn't, for herself, see all of the progress that we've made together, and she's just going to, like, crack up at the idea that we would continue, right? So whatever your version of that is, this client hasn't thought the work was good enough. This client hasn't thought the work has yielded the right results. This client hasn't thought that I'm good enough, and therefore I don't feel really confident in moving this relationship to the next level, right? So just take a moment and just notice for yourself, has that come up for you in the past with next steps processes? Has that prevented you from either having the process or just from being fully in your power? Another energetic obstacle that can come up a lot of times is, well, what if I've given her everything that I've got? Like, I've already given her all of my tools. What more is there, right? And, of course, there's always more because, as Corey was beautifully sharing before, as entrepreneurs, as human beings, we're always evolving. As we evolve, we're able to shepherd our clients that we have longer sacred contracts with. We're able to shepherd those clients forward as well, right? So we can get caught up in the mind thing of, like, they've gotten all the tools, or we've already been working together for X amount of time. I just can't, like, there's nothing more I can do for this person. Sometimes that's actually true, right? That, you know, you've come to the limit for that period, right? But most of the time that's not true. So just check that one out for yourself. Does that come up as an energetic block with next steps? Another common one is oftentimes when we invite someone into continuing or into a next level program or a next level product, or we invite someone further into our funnel, it can be more expensive, right? So for those of you that have been in your sacred business and then into Soulful Leader, right? Soulful Leader is more expensive than the initial investment that you made in your sacred business. So sometimes the energetic block for the continuing client could be like, oh, well, they invested this much, And they've had a really great experience, but now I'm going to raise the rate for them. How can I raise a rate on a client that's been with me? Right, so has that been an energetic block? Either, and I'll say, like, either because they're going deeper into your funnel or just because you're raising your rates as you evolve over time. And then here's the, I think, one of the doosiest energetic blocks that can come up for entrepreneurs when it comes to continuing clients, particularly servicepreneurs, and particularly servicepreneurs that run intimate businesses. And this limiting belief or energetic block goes like this. Well, I've already revealed myself too much to this person. We already have such a closeness. We already have such a history that it feels more like we're friends, or it just feels like I've revealed too much, or there's too much closeness here. And because of that, I can't continue on. There are other energetic blocks, but I wanted to just get your mind thinking and moving. And so for yourself, write down right now the top two or three limiting beliefs or fears or energetic blocks that come up for you when you think about inviting aligned clients to continue on with you. What are some of the big ones that come up for you? And then as you look at those limiting beliefs and those fears, those energetic obstacles, what is, for each one that you wrote down, I want you to take a moment now. Actually, we'll do it just with one, and then you can do the rest on your own. So pick the one that feels the biggest for you, like the biggest pain in the tush, the one that really stands in your way the most. And as you look at that limiting belief or that fear, that obstacle, what I want you to do is I want you to write down what your higher truth, what your higher self and your higher wisdom, your higher truth actually knows about this issue. So take a moment, connect in with your higher self, your higher truth around it. What does your higher self or truth actually know about this issue? And write that down. Okay. So I know that there's probably a lot of ideas and thoughts and revelations swirling. I want to continue with the training, but we'll have time at the end for Q&A and to hear some of the pieces that you're really starting to see here. So as you align yourself more and more on the inner level, the energetics, to get ready to invite folks to continue, then we get more into like the nuts and bolts and the actual process. And the first part of the process is to invite the client to have a conversation with you about what's next. And I get asked a lot about the timing, like when should you invite somebody? It depends. Every situation and every scenario kind of has its best optimal time, but in general, what I'd say is you want to make the invitation to have the conversation before the current work that you're doing with that client is over. So you don't want to wait until after the last, if you're doing sessions, you know, if you work in a, on a session-based kind of thing, you don't want to wait until after your last session. You don't even want to wait until your last session to invite someone to have the conversation. You want to, I usually recommend like somewhere in between the second to last, somewhere in between the second to last or the third to last session is when you might send an email invitation out, letting this client know, you know, you can't believe that this particular program is coming to an end. There's so much that has happened, and that you, you want to gift them with extra time to have to be able to assess, to really look at all that's shifted since you've worked together, and to also take a look at what they would like to have happen for themselves next and how you might be able to support them in that. I get asked a lot if it's actually really necessary to set separate time for this. You know, why can't we just talk about it as part of our last session, or we have a conversation, you know, why can't I just call the person, have a conversation on the sly? And the reason is for all the same reasons why I always recommend having a separate enrollment conversation with a set time, with, you know, it's going to be this long, you know, reminder, all of that, right? This is an important conversation. This is a sacred conversation. This is really a conversation about two higher selves coming together to continue to create immense impact and transformation and results in the world. And we want to give it the honor that it deserves. We want to give it the time that it deserves. We want to give it the invitation that it deserves. So don't skimp on the invite and just say, oh, you know, you want to set up a time, you know, since we're ending to talk. We really, like the way that I laid it out for you, you really want to honor it. It's important. And, you know, it's important, I really feel, even if the person, even if the client ends up continuing with the work or not, having a separate next steps and celebrations call is so valuable for clients. It gives them an opportunity outside of just the regular work that you're doing together to really be able to assess what they've done, to really celebrate their wins, and to really look at what they want next and where they have help. And, you know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about some particular women in this group, like Janet and Alicia. I know your work is a little bit different than traditional, you know, session-based work, but I want you to really think, how can you use the law of adaptation here for yourselves? Because your industries also, your businesses can gain so much from continuing clients. So how is this going to work for you? So once you've issued the invitation to have the conversation, and depending on what level you're at in your business, sometimes the conversation is going to be one-on-one. Sometimes if it's your people are in a group program, you may have a group conversation. But I'm going to focus on the one-on-one conversation for today because I think that's where most everyone in this circle is at. But you can use law of adaptation for a group next steps invitation. But anyway, so once you have that date set, then we get to the actual conversation itself. And I could spend hours on this, but I want to just go through that process quickly. I go through it longer in a Next Steps Calls training that you've got in your training library, so you can always listen to that. But I do just want to go through it quickly and see what questions you have on it. So what I have found to be the most effective by way, you know, if there kind of were a formula for a Next Steps conversation, is to start just like with regular prospect calls to start by setting intentions and to just be really honest and upfront at the beginning of the call, what this call is about. It's about really being able to celebrate the progress that has happened so far, to really acknowledge the results, to assess what's really worked, and to assess what hasn't worked, to take a look at what this person wants next by way of results, and then to take a look at if you have any type of support or offering that can help bridge them from where they are now to where they want to be. So you want to set intentions. And then from there, now traditionally when we're looking at like an enrollment conversation with a new prospect, you know that we always go gap and then vision and then bridge. For continuing clients, we want to flip it. We want to talk about celebrations first, right? We want to celebrate. So we want to spend the first part of the call just really looking at all of the progress that this client has made, all of the inner and outer progress, the results that have happened because of it. You want to really ask your client to identify the progress that they've made, to celebrate. And what you're going to find happens is that, you know, we know this already, people don't see, they have blind spots to their own successes. They have blind spots to their own results. They're always looking at what hasn't happened for them. It's going to happen in this conversation. So your job as the leader of this process is going to be to fill in all of the blank spots for them, all of the blind spots, all of the progress. You're going to let them talk, but when they're done talking, you're going to share with them all of the other places of progress that they so clearly have made, but that they may not be seeing. You're going to put it into perspective for them. So you're really going to speak from an expert place with a lot of perspective on where they were and where they are now. You're going to really put it into a beautiful perspective for them so that they can see all of the progress that's been made. After you celebrate, then the next part of the call is about vision. We're doing vision before gap here. So once you have assessed how far they've come and where they are right now, then you want them to look towards the future, and you want to ask them in 6 months from now, in 12 months from now, where would you like to be? And similar to a new prospect, you're going to, you know, just help this person create a vivid vision. But here's what's so beautiful about these continuing client conversations, these next steps calls that I love so much. They're so much juicier than a prospect call with a new prospect because you already know this person. You already know their strengths. You already know their desires. You already know their dreams. You already know their weaknesses and where they tend to get stuck. So as you look at celebrations and vision and gap, you can have, and this is part of the trick of the conversation, to have a really honest conversation with this client about what you see as possible for them and what you need, right? So in that vision section of the conversation, sometimes your prospect is not going to think as big as the possibilities that you really see are possible for them next. And you're going to point that out. You know, you're going to say, like, oftentimes, you know, someone will, you know, in a next steps call, particularly when I first started out, you know, someone would say, like, oh, in the next 6 months, I see, you know, X amount of income possible or X more clients or whatever it is or, you know, whatever it is. And really what I saw for them was maybe double that amount, or what I saw for them was they're ready to do group programs, or what I saw for them is that they're ready to really start their blog or whatever it is, right? So I would share that in that vision section, and not as if it's truth, like I know better, but I'd ask if that resonates, if they desire that, if they see that, if they see that that's possible. So you want to really lay out a beautiful vision. And then from there, we go into a modified gap. So once that you've laid out that vision, then you want to ask your client, so where are the places as you move towards this vision, as you move towards achieving this for yourself, knowing yourself the way that you do, where are the places that you sense you're going to get stuck moving forward? Where are you going to get stuck? Right? That's a gap question. And so your clients will let you know where they sense they'll get stuck. And again, this is where it gets so juicy, because you also know where they're going to get stuck at this point, because you know them pretty well. You're going to tell them, you're going to add to that, right? Let them know the places where, based on the work you've already done together, where they need more help. And then from there, you get to the bridge, right? So once you've established where they've come from, all that they've created so far, where they are right now, where they want to be in the future, what they need to get there, then you're going to talk about how whatever the next step offering is fits that plan exactly. How that container of that offering will create that aligned relationship for transformation and results to occur. And then from there, you know, traditionally you can just continue as if it were an enrollment conversation where you send a program guide, give homework, and then set up a second call. As you get more masterful in this, there are ways to shorten that process a little bit more. But if you're not really mastering the art of continuing clients and next steps processes yet, you want to still do the two-call individual process. So I know I just laid out a lot of information in a short period of time. There's lots of nooks and crannies we could go into, and I'm going to let you guys lead with the nooks and crannies. So I want to open up for Q&A. Anything on the inner pieces, the energetics, on the actual nuts and bolts of the process that you want answered, or any revelations or discoveries that are coming forward? Star 7.
Hello.
Hi, who is that?
This is Paradis.
Hey, Paradis.
Hi. So in terms of nuts and bolts, just quick question about the last thing you said, because it went a little fast. So after you talk about the next step, that container, the offering, how it will be aligned with creating the results that you want to create and occur, then what was the next thing? You set up what?
So you'll lay out what the next step offering is, the container, the format that you think working together would best serve what your client needs based on the conversation that you just had, right? Mm-hmm. This many sessions over this amount of time, or whatever it is that's really going to serve what they need next.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lay it out. And what I would do, you know, particularly if it's at least a considerable investment over a couple $100s, is I would send them a program guide that has all of the numbers and all of the information. I'd assign them homework to do, just like we would do with a regular prospect. I'd do a different homework, so I think of some journaling questions that really help reinforce the celebrations, that really help reinforce the vision and the places where they'll need support and what they really want for themselves, and then come together for a second call a couple days later to see what's resonating for them and if they want to step in.
Okay, so before you get the if they want to step in, you follow up with what you just said. And then you ask them afterwards if they want to step in.
Yes. And
okay,
here's a piece that is so important. I want everybody to write this down. This is so, 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 so key. I should have started out with this, but we'll put it towards the end here. Even with continuing clients that are so aligned, that are totally meant to continue to work with you, that will continue working with you, there is still resistance. There is still resistance. For some, it's itty-bitty, tiny, itty-mini. But for others, the resistance is great. And I'll share with you guys, I can't tell you how many times I've been, for example, like a participant in a coaching situation. And actually was my original mentor. I always knew before the end of a program that she was going to invite me into a new program, and I always knew that the new program was going to be a lot more expensive than the old program. And every single time before we had the conversation, I was 100% positive in my mind that I was going to say no. I knew for a fact, like, even though I really wanted to continue, even though I really wanted the support, even though I knew how valuable it would be for me, I would convince myself that it was too expensive, that I already spent enough money, that, oh, you know, maybe somewhere else I could get better support, even though I knew for at that time for myself that wasn't the case. You know, everything, maybe I'm just going to try it on my own for a while, everything. But, of course, through the process of self-reflection and really seeing what I need, and sometimes she had to really work with me on that resistance, right? I always ended up making the right decision for myself. Right? I know even with so many of you on this call, you've been in more than one program with me. I'm positive that for some of you, there's been resistance before you've said yes. It's part of the process. That is 100% okay. Do not take any signs of resistance as a signal of this person isn't meant to continue with me or this person isn't going to continue with me. You don't have to hold them through the process. You have to just stand fast to the truth that you know about them and what they're capable of and what kind of support they need, and that you can provide that support and really lead from that place. Now, I won't, you know, say that every now and again there's a doozy where you feel so connected to someone and you know you can continue and they're just like, nope. This isn't working for me. I'm not feeling the love. Yeah, every now and again that can happen, right? But generally, the resistance is not something to run away from. It's not something to be scared of. Awesome. Who else? What other questions can I answer, or what else are you seeing for yourself? Star 7.
Joanna?
Mm-hmm.
This is Makita.
Hi.
Hey, so the way my program guide is currently written, it sort of lists out all that we could potentially touch on just because of the nature of my work, mm-hmm. and I highlight the things that I feel like we're going to start with, where we'd put our energy. Typically, it's for 3 months initially, and then the next step would be a six-month program, but it's essentially still the same thing. We're just deepening. So in an instance like that, do I resend the program guide and highlight something different? Do I, in my email, call out where I feel like we could deepen even further? I guess I'm just still, because I don't necessarily have a guide that's going to be completely different.
Yeah. So the more time that you're willing to take to personalize, the mm-hmm. more effective. So for me, I lay it out in the email. I lay out each of the bridge pieces that we're going to work on next. And then in the guide, I actually would take out pieces that are no longer necessary. I would add pieces that may not have been, you know, for example, like in the past, I've added to a program guide around leading a team, right? Because mm-hmm. that's not in a basic guide, the team leadership when you
right.
started, is it right? But I'll add that for particular people that need that. So the more that
okay.
you can personalize the email and the guide, the better.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if it's helpful for you and everyone else, I'll just add, you know, sometimes someone's continuing in the same program, right? They've done a 6 months,
right.
they're going to continue, and you're not raising the rates and, you know, all of that. In that case, I actually don't resend the program guide. In
okay.
that case, I actually will just lay it all out in an email because they already know the pricing. You know, I'll write the pricing again, but
right.
I just basically lay it out in an email. There's no need to do all that extra reading. It's like almost too much.
Okay.
So if it's just one to the next.
Okay, and just another quick sort of logistical question. Do you take the payment for the new program, you wait until after the current program is done? Payment, like if they're paying a monthly,
right.
for
you know,
example.
It's really a case-by-case situation.
Okay.
So with private clients, I will. I'll wait. Although I haven't had a private client that's not a group situation for so long. You know, I would take at least some kind of deposit when somebody says
okay.
yes. I think the deposit is really important, even if it's
yeah.
just nominal, right? It doesn't have to be a full
yeah.
first month. But some kind of deposit with that energetic commitment is so important because
yeah.
resistance happens even after you say yes, right?
Right.
So with that energetic commitment of the deposit in place, it really helps with the resistance. It
okay.
helps someone
right.
work
That's-
through the resistance on their own before they just quickly come to you and say, I want out.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Who else? We have time for a couple more questions, star seven. Probably one more question. What else have you guys got? All right, well, then I'll trust that we're complete for today. So I hope that this call was helpful, and if any questions come up, let me know. Have a great, great rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon.